Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Hope you're doing well on this weird yet glorious March. No, April. April week. Oh, my God. It's April 1st. It's April Fool's Day.
I was
going to
say, you have no idea. You have no idea what day it is, do you?
I really, it was a horrible way to go into it. I have no idea what day it is. I have no sense of time. What does it all mean? We've never done a podcast at this time of day. Usually, I think I'm eating dinner around this time of day, or there's kids that have to be driven someplace, or people are coming home. Not anymore. How are you doing over there?
I'm all right. You reminded me it was like an old-fashioned play. I thought you were going to say line because you didn't know what day it was.
And welcome to this glorious
April
line.
April 1st. It's April Fool's Day.
Yeah, that's why we're putting it out a day late.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
No, but can you tell everybody what you were doing? Or is it
yes.
a secret?
No, it's not a secret at all. Well, it could have been a secret. No, it's not a secret. I just, an hour or so ago, completed the audio version of my new book, You're Doing Great and Other Reasons to Stay Alive.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum. Good, good. A little tiring, but good. It felt pretty decent. It was, you know, it's... A lot of it comes off of similar themes from the special, but not like, you know, there's a couple jokes in there, but it's pretty much new material and new turf. So it was interesting going in and reading the whole thing. First of all, just on a practical level, you know, if I get a book like I have during the quarantine and I am quote unquote reading this book, I'll carry it around for a good 2.5 weeks, easy. I don't spend that much time sitting down and actually reading. You try and sneak it in here and there. If I can get maybe a half hour, that's a lot. So to sit down right. in a booth over 2 days and just read cover to cover the whole thing, that's a lot of reading. And
yeah, that's crazy.
You're also putting a little something behind it because you don't want it to be boring. You want it to be, you know, as a comedian, you want your audiobook to be good. So, not the writers don't want it to be good, but we have a different level of expectation. So, yeah, it takes a lot out of you. It's a lot of fun to do. But the other part that was kind of interesting was reading all of the stuff now that we're all in quarantine and working together to get through this weirdness and hoping that everything's going to work out. And, you know, the ground is shifted. So then to be reading a book about... Within the book, I talk about how people shouldn't be on cruises. I talk about how... how germs attack us. I talk about all the good work that people are doing, and that if every single job that somebody has is directly affects other people's jobs and other people's lives. So all of these grand themes that I was alluding to just, you know, as I wrote it over the last year, have not different meaning, but there's different focus. A different light is shining on different parts of the book. But the overall theme of you are doing great and other reasons to stay alive, giving you hope despite whatever is difficult times and difficult challenges, that I'm pretty proud of, that's the timeliness of that message is pretty on point.
But do you still believe it, Tom? Are you cracking? Or do you still, are you stronger than ever on this? You're doing great.
Yeah, no, I'm not cracking at all. Look, I think if somebody were to see my special and see you're doing great while their, you know, parent is in ICU and struggling, you know, they could easily say that they're not doing great, but the overall theme is, which was kind of the message that I got from my grandparents who went through the Great Depression and went through world wars and surgeries and deaths and all the rest of it, is that this is part of the human experience. And sometimes there's small aggravations, sometimes they're great big challenges. We all lose people. We all have stuff we have to deal with and contend with. And what are you going to do when you're surviving and going about your life? You know, there's, as my grandparents always showed us, there's only one thing to do, and that's to make the best of it and forge on and make the people around you a little happier and make it a little easier of a ride for them. So no, I don't waver from that theme at all. Does that mean that, you know, you don't have your moments of being aggravated or feeling for somebody that's struggling? Of course not. You know, but again, that's part of the whole journey. Hey, how are your parents doing down there in Florida?
My parents are doing great. They're, you know, I'm glad, you know, that's one of the things is I'm glad they're down there. They kind of have their own little, you know, kind of gated place. And, you know, my mom's a runner, which is kind of a solitary pursuit. And my dad plays golf, which, you know, the new thing down there is, you know, you get your own cart and you don't really have to interact with anybody. Like, if you're as bad as golf at golf like me, your ball's never near anybody else's anyway. So,
exactly.
And then I guess they do it so there's no, you don't have to pull the pin. There's like a little foam thing so your ball doesn't go all the way down, so you're not really touching the same stuff that everybody else is. So I think that's pretty safe for them. So they're both getting outside and staying active. I think the big problem is there's this younger faction and this older faction that aren't, I don't think they're not taking it seriously, but it's just a natural, I don't know if you've been in this position yet, but like, you know, you're walking down the sidewalk and somebody's coming and your natural thing is to like say hello or at least acknowledge them. And you literally have to like walk away from them,
when,
you know, on the same sidewalk. You know, I was just walking down and there's this guy coming the other way and we both like just veered out. And it kind of makes you feel like you have the worst case of cooties ever or something. But
I know, it's not a good time.
It's just a strange thing.
It's not a good time to be a friendly person. Really, walking through the food store and everybody you see, and you know, you always make a little comment, a little joke, a little something, and you got to kind of put your head down and keep going. I had a guy come up to me in the supermarket who had seen my special, and he was all excited.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, oh, my God, you're so funny. And he just kept coming closer and closer. I'm like, you know, there's nothing
like
better. Yeah, there's nothing better than being complimented like that. But at this point, when it's like, just do it from over there by the potato chips, and I'll stay over here by the soups, and thank you. Yeah, it is weird. And you can also tell that there's people who are on edge. Like, you can tell when, like, so many people walking in the neighborhood who normally aren't walking, and you know, who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has these waves of anxiety at different times. And there are just some people who are just, they just come off as rude. You know, they're just like, look around, like come around you or like walk real fast or have their dog without a leash and they're just kind of like cutting you off. Or the people on the road, even, you know, I went for a ride and the roads are pretty wide open. And the people that are on them are either just slowly going about their business, and then there's other people that think this is their chance to go and are just just blasting down the streets. Have you been keeping it inside?
Well, I kind of pick my moments. The other two things that I've noticed are everyone's drinking. And then all of a sudden, which I think is probably always true, like, you know, because even now people are doing like these social, like, I'm going to do a shot for Carol. And then, you know, it's just like, well, you're just going to drink by yourself anyway. So don't bring everybody else into this. But and then what I've noticed, at least in my apartment complex, that everyone started smoking at the same time, apparently.
Like, oh no!
There was one guy that used to kind of sneak a cigarette in the back by the parking lot. But then I think everyone in my apartment complex is smoking cigarettes now, at least at some point. That's what they're all doing to, like, get outside.
That's the worst timing ever. The whole
thing. Yeah, that's literally, I think, yeah, it's your lungs, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. That's
what they said about China. There's so many older men in China that are heavy smokers that was one of the reasons why it was so bad, because you already have to kind of be in good health to fight it anyway when it hits your lungs. And then if you're a smoker, too, it's like a double whammy. So,
oh, geez. That is so crazy. Hey, we have a sponsor for today's show.
All right.
Very exciting.
Who is
These
it?
Are our good friends at MyBookie. MyBookie,
all right.
MyBookie. Have you ever heard of these guys?
Betting stuff, right?
MyBookie promotional talking points. Here we go. I can cut that part out. MyBookie. Sports have come to a screeching halt with basketball benched and pitchers off the mound, but our friends at MyBookie aren't going to let you down, Paul. You can stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out in the front lines or quarantined at home. The fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. Video poker, they've got you covered. Casino dealers, live casino dealers, online, all night long. So you can literally go and gamble with live professional dealers. Your favorite squad is sidelined because of the pandemic. Don't sweat it, Paul. MyBookie has partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action, so you could actually bet on the NBA 2K20. So, like, you can actually bet on esports. This is for people who really are jonesing. Plus, you could always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. So you can trust the industry leaders in times like these. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. So visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code PAPA for 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code PAPA. Receive 150% cash bonus at mybookie.ag. Plus, you get your first deposit and you can claim extra funds all the way up to $750. You spin, you win,
wow,
you get paid. That's fun. I've been trying to get into video games. As you know, I always have been dreaming about it. You know better than anybody. I bought consoles. I've bought games. I hear people talk about how much fun they have, and I always want to be a part of it. And even now, in the quarantine, I don't have an opportunity to play.
Oh, no? Yeah, well, you have, like, this dream of, I don't quite have that. I think you'd love to be a pot-smoking video gamer.
It sounds like, a nice,
like,
life.
Bobby Lee or something.
Yeah, those guys seem to have a lot of fun. They just hang around, they smoke pot, they sleep in late, they just play games, they pass out, they wake up, they go to a show at the Comedy Store, and they come back home and play more games. Come on, that sounds like a pressure-free life to me.
But you would hate it after, I tell you what you wouldn't like already after the first day,
uh-huh,
is the video gamer dress code. Mm. you're like, was that De Niro or Pesci in The Irishman when the guy wore shorts to a meeting and he lost his mind?
Yeah. I know. I actually
have to
was thinking.
You wear a suit on the couch.
I actually was thinking, I was, On the SiriusXM show, oh, which, by the way, I have a promo for that as well. If you go to SiriusXM.com right now, you can get 3 months free for all their premium channels. So if you want to listen to my show on the Netflix Is a Joke channel, that I do with Fortune on Channel 93, What a Joke, and you don't have it, and these times are a little tight, you don't want to have an extra expense, go to SiriusXM.com and you can get free Sirius, all their premium channels, including Mr. Howard Stern, for 3 straight months. So there you go.
Yeah, and the coolest thing is the app that SiriusXM has. I think for you guys, too, everything's on demand, and you can also watch all the videos for free.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So enjoy that. So the only reason I bring it up, not only to spread the word, but also because we had Sebastian on today. And
oh, okay, cool.
And we were talking to him, and of course he's at home. Everyone's at home. And he is a sharp dresser. And he said he's only been, he hasn't worn jeans the entire time he's been in lockdown. And
oh, yeah?
Yeah. And he, but he does wear kind of stylish track suits. So
yeah,
I was,
he's the Italian guy that's not working out but wearing track suits.
Exactly. That's exactly his thing. So it did inspire me somewhat. And I'm going to run these two ideas by you. And see what you think. Number one,
okay,
is it time? I don't own any sweatpants. I'm always wearing pants and jeans and whatever. Is it time for me to get a tracksuit? Maybe a little more stylish, like a Sebastian. Is it worth it? Is it stupid? What do you think?
I mean, that's the thing, is to wear it as like a fashion statement is strange. but just like comfort level, I mean, you have to know where I'm coming from, because I grew up, not only did I grow up like, you know, a sports kid, like my dad was a coach and we're just going from sport to sport, but also my dad was a gym teacher. So even he's wearing sweatpants to work every day. So for me, it was like completely like normal.
Sure.
It wasn't like, I remember even talking to somebody, it was like when we did picture day in fourth grade, I was like, all right, I got to wear my good sweatpants.
Right.
And it wasn't until like later on that it was like, oh yeah, you got to dress up and all that kind of stuff. But even when I was on the news, you know, I was when I was a TV sports anchor for ABC, I had the, you know, the jacket. I would buy half a suit with the clothing allowance we got. So I'd have the jacket and the tie and the shirt, and then I'd just wear like shorts and sneakers underneath the desk, you know.
Hilarious. So, all right. So what do you think? So you're thinking maybe I don't then.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is it's all about comfort. So,
right.
I mean, like when all this like dry fit stuff came in that, you know, Nike makes and Under Armour makes, there's stuff that looks, you know, it looks like presentable. It doesn't look like dress pants, but it's like they're comfortable and they look kind of like business casual, I guess. You
right.
know what I mean? So
right.
if you had to like do something in the backyard, or you wanted to like, you know, go to the store, pick up food or something, you could kind of do all that stuff. I mean, I think that's what everyone's going for, right? Is you have the outfit that you're wearing all day. So I think that's why everyone kind of just goes into sweatpants, because it's, you know, either you're on the couch all day, or you know, even if you go for a run, you wear the sweatpants. So it's kind of like a, and you're not worried about anybody seeing you. That's the big thing. So.
Right. But I still can't, but I can't go all the way into, I'm just, I don't like the feeling of I'm just throwing on sweats because I've given up. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I like the alertness and the, I don't know, the self-respect part of not complete. So I don't want to go just old shabby. I don't know. This is complicated. All right. This one is
no,
even
you
more
can check. If you check like Under Armour, like Nike, just go online and like, you know, there's all these, I mean, even for like just to do yoga, which by the way, I think I told you my teacher's been doing some online classes. So I've done that. So even for like yoga now, like Nike has like sweatpants for yoga and you know, and shirts for that. So I think everything is kind of made for comfort now, you know, like everything's
right.
made to like breathe and be stretched and
right.
that kind of stuff. So I think you should just look through and see what looks comfortable, and You know, because I'm not a big fan of, like, the old-fashioned, like, just gray sweatpants either. I like to have something that's kind of
I should think more like nice
and presentable.
I should think more about, like, LeBron. I should dress like LeBron.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what was fun about, you know, playing basketball. You just wear, like, your big, like, nice sweatsuit with the college name on it. I mean, that's still a lot of the stuff I have is, like, from, you know, UConn or Syracuse or something like that.
Right.
And I still like wearing that stuff, but I know that you're not a... I tried to bring you to the Nike store, and I think you bought basketball shoes, but you never wore them, right?
No. I didn't. I think I gave them to someone. I think I wore them once to the comedy club, and someone was like, "What are you wearing?" And they were just like, "This isn't you." All right, so the next one.
But it really does. Oh, go ahead. What?
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you know, it was kind of like when Letterman wore the sneakers with the suit. I think that could be your look.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Well, the next one is even more ridiculous. But I've been getting some pressure from different camps and saying that, you know, I wear Vans when I'm around the house. That's kind of my Mr. Rogers indoor shoe. And... there have been some people that were saying that I'm crazy for not getting Crocs.
Oh, see, that's, I'm, you know, like, I don't mind dressing comfortably, but I feel like not only are Crocs, like, not comfortable, but they're, like, offensive to the people around you. You feel it? Right. Like, are they comfortable? Like, I'm not... I don't know. Anything I wear, I have to, like, that's why your Vans are comfortable because they're kind of like, you can just slide your feet in.
Yeah.
But you still always wear, like, socks and stuff, right? Don't you?
Not with the Vans, no. Not with the Vans.
See, because that's the place that I won't go. I'm not wearing any shoe without a sock on, because that's, I feel like that's point of no return. Once you start wearing bare feet and stuff, then you're just,
Well, with the Vans, they're good. I mean, they're literally, you know, they don't get funky and, you know, you're not wearing them constantly. You're just around the house. It's kind of, that's okay. But people are telling me that the Croc is actually the most comfortable shoe you can get.
I don't believe that for a second. I don't, not only is there, like, no support, I just feel like they're made out of plastic. I mean, there's no way that it can't be irritating to your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried them?
No, I've never tried them.
That's what I was gonna say. I want that picture on your Instagram of you trying on Crocs.
Yeah, just saying,
I think that'll
that
be a bad sign,
like,
to everybody.
Yeah, just saying that makes it seem like an impossibility. Like, I would never do that. If I did it, I would try not to be seen.
It's like, hey, when Dylan went electric, it's like a shocking thing. You can't.
Did you see what Dylan released?
Oh, Bob, yeah, I heard he released a song about JFK or something.
Yeah. It's 16 minutes long.
Was it good? Did you listen to it?
I listened to the first minute and a half, and that was pretty good. And then, but it's 16 minutes long. I still have it on YouTube on my server, but I haven't listened to it all yet. I got to hit it. But it sounded kind of cool, but it's just kind of like a long story, I guess, about the Kennedy assassination. Kind of weird timing.
Yeah, it feels like he's been banking that one for a while.
Yeah, a long while.
Since 69, 68?
Yeah, I guess he decides now I'm gonna crank it out. But, yeah, that might be
it's
worth
like doing jokes about The Godfather or something, like pulling them out.
Have you been watching anything?
You know what I just did? I just got into, I think I watched the first three episodes of Ozark.
Oh, yeah, people really like that. People really dig that.
Yeah, it's great. It's interesting. I love Jason Bateman, but for some reason, Ozark never got me interested. And I think The pilot is actually really good. It's probably one of the better pilots I've seen as far as setting up the show.
Yeah, I remember that.
But for some reason, I just didn't lock into it.
Right.
But yeah, so I just watched a few episodes of that, and then I finally watched the interview. I don't know if you remember that. I remember when that movie came out, and it was like banned instantly.
Right,
About, I finally watched that.
Oh, with Seth Rogen about Korea.
Yeah, yeah, about Kim Jong-un and James Franco is in it.
Is that any good?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, you know, and I don't remember when it, because it didn't come out, right? That was the whole reason for the Sony hack and all that kind of stuff, and they got all these threats.
Yeah, it never came out.
But, yeah, yeah, so, I mean, it was pretty good. It was worth watching, I guess. And then, I think that's it. I already finished Tiger King, did you?
Yes, I finished that. That was kind of fun, like let's laugh at these crazy rednecks for a while, but after a while it got a little tiresome.
Oh, yeah? Because I think they actually opened up that murder case about the lady's husband, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you read that?
Yeah, they're looking for more clues, trying to figure it out. That would be cool if they cracked it. That would be fun. But by the end of it, I was just kind of a little tired of all of them. They all just seemed like conniving, just trying to make money and off of these cats. Nobody seemed like someone to root for by the end.
Yeah, that horrible, like just horrible, all horrible people.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and then like and the video games thing. It's like, all right, I'm spending 7 hours with these people. I don't know.
is this redeeming at all?
Right, exactly. You're like, this is a lot of time to be spending. I mean, we have a lot of time, but on the other side, we don't. You know, you still have only so much time in your day and night after the thing with the kids. And, you know, that's 7 hours is a lot. But it was fun. It was fun. Yeah. I got through it. I saw a movie called The Lighthouse with Willem Dafoe. I don't recommend that during the quarantine. That's about living in close quarters of a lighthouse and not being able to get out and slowly losing your mind. So, depending on where you're at and how you're feeling, maybe this isn't one that you really digest at this time.
Yeah, you do kind of want something a little uplifting.
Yeah, a little fun. My daughter is watching every single Avengers movie.
Oh, right. Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it.
Yeah, she's cranking through them. She doesn't have that many left. Are you halfway done? I'm at Infinity Wars. You're at Infinity Wars. So only four left? Ooh. Is that the one where Iron Man dies? No.
You're not supposed to say it.
Everybody knows Iron Man's dead. Everybody knows. He'll come back. It'll be okay.
He'll come back somehow. They'll have some kind of... I mean, that's the problem I have with those, is they're not like complete movies. They all just lead to the next one.
Right. But that's why if you watch the whole kit and caboodle. I would like to digest some of the new Star Wars stuff. But again, I don't live alone. These decisions are not mine.
But you saw Mandalorian, right?
No, I saw the beginning of it.
Oh, yeah, just watch that one. I think that's only 8 episodes or something. That's great. You'll love
it. Have you watched The Mandalorian? Yeah, my family's not Star Wars people. I don't know what it is.
That's kind of like
out.
Different. I think everybody liked The Mandalorian because that's Bill Burr's in it. Amy Sedaris,
Baby Yoda,
got a lot of cool stuff.
Amy Sedaris.
Baby Yoda. I'm surprised your daughters don't love that.
They love Baby Yoda, but they're not interested in seeing his acting. They love him as a person, but not so much with the acting.
Yeah, that whole thing is like an undertaking. Hey, by the way, I was going to mention, did you ever, because I think I told you about how much I love that Artist Ritual book. Did you ever read it?
Yeah. I have that book. I love that book. It's one of my favorites. Yeah, so I keep it my end table.
I will give that. Yeah, I got the audiobook, and it's basically just from like Voltaire to Sylvia Plath to Beethoven, just about all these artists, what their routines are.
Yeah.
and it's great. And it's the guy's name is Mason Curry, who I actually he started following me on Twitter. And I don't know if he heard us mention the book before.
Who, the guy who put it together?
I just sent him a message. Yeah, yeah, the author, the guy that wrote it.
That's cool.
And so I just said, hey, did you know we mentioned it on the podcast because we both love the book? And he's like, oh, that's great to hear. And yeah, that's I've actually re-listened to that because I have the audio book of it, and it's so fascinating. Just
I love
these,
that book. It's you know, it's such a good one to flip through and just you know when you don't you only have a couple of minutes before you're falling asleep, and just you just flip through, pick out someone who you like or whatever, just even randomly, and just see how what their routine was for creating stuff. It kind of inspires you for the next day if you get one that matches how you like to work. There are some writers and artists who whose routines were wake up, start drinking, take a nap,
yeah,
go see your girlfriend, come back, drink some more, and squeeze some workout right before midnight.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, I am always fascinated with the guy who I think it's T.S. Eliot, who you kind of think of as like a pretty artsy, like out there guy. Yeah. And he kept his like regular job at the bank like for his whole life because it like gave him structure or something.
Yeah.
So he was like this kind of like regular guy at the office during the day, and then he's T.S. Eliot, the groundbreaking writer at night, or the poet, you know. So
wow, that's incredible.
But yeah, he there was one guy. There's like a painter. That just, yeah, because there's certain guys like, okay, this guy used to pace a lot. He drank a lot of tea. You know, there's a lot of people, I think it's Beethoven, used to like take showers, like that kind of like refreshed his mind or whatever. So it's always interesting to hear what it does. But then there's like, you know, all these painters that had like 9 girlfriends, and the one guy had like infant legs. Do you remember that guy? His name's like Tolatrek or something. He was a French painter, so he had like child legs, but then like an adult torso,
right.
And he would go to like these brothels and strip joints to like paint, and you know, and it's hilarious. Like okay, that guy's his own thing, but
yeah,
but for me, maybe the tea will help, you know.
Because
they could do it about you now, like how you wrote 2 books. So what was your
I'm a big
routine.
Author now, so you know I don't like to really discuss my routine because it's top secret. I don't want people to realize that I'm hot on. I don't want Stephen King to realize I'm hot on his trail. But yeah, I like to keep that kind of private.
Stick with a routine because you had so much going on, right? Like you had to do it that way.
Yes, I had to be really strict about it for sure. And I'd like to keep going. You know, now that it's all done, it's been a little time from when I worked on the last one. But yeah, I have no idea where I would go and what I would start doing. But I am trying to keep a routine. I think when I was reading something about a guy on the space shuttle. Or on the space station, and he was talking about, he was giving isolation tips because, you know, who's more isolated than that? A guy who's been up there for a couple of years. And mm-hmm. He was talking about how important routine is.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, like keep set a schedule for yourself, even when you're kind of, right now, there's a lot of times you don't have to do a damn thing all day. I like keeping, while we're doing this, I like keeping one day that I, like on the weekend, like a Sunday, where I don't do anything. But the rest of the days, I still try and act a little productive.
Yeah, I was always wondering if you, because you know who that was. That was the Gertrude Stein thing about Sunday was the stay-in day. Like, you don't go anywhere. You just spend time with family, like, all day. And that seemed to be, like, what you always got, like, the first flight home. Keep like your Sundays kind of normal with your family.
Yeah, Sunday's family day. I still stick by that. And now every day is family day. So so I win in some way. I get everything done. What are you doing for food?
I'm pretty good. I've actually had to use the kitchen a little bit.
Nice.
Dust all that stuff off. no, I've only done like two big kind of grocery hauls, and you know, got you know, just the deli meat and some frozen stuff.
Nice.
And then I don't think I've been really conscious about, you know, I was still like doing like, you know, not like intermingling with people, but like I would go to the grocery store, I'd go to Target or something. But but in the last like week or so, I've really tried to cut down those even. So
yeah, that's good.
You know where I did go to Domingo's and get a takeout sandwich.
Ooh,
they were still going.
Oh, that's good to know.
So that's,
I mentioned them in the book.
I did that. Oh, really?
Yep. I talk about the great sandwiches I've had. And I mentioned Domingo's.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Big shout out to Domingo's.
Yeah, that place is great. And then what have you been doing? Cuz you're the one. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, it's a good time to not be in a like a bad dating relationship or anything like that. So I'm in a good place.
But yeah, you're lucky.
You're with your family who you love more than anything. But what is your escape right now, Tom, for these regular households?
This is it right here, right now. It's a lot of, whenever I do the radio show or the podcast or just go in my office, look, it's not like everybody wants to be with everybody all the time. It is kind of like being on the space shuttle. Everybody kind of moves around, does their thing, and when they want time, they just kind of disappear. And you gotta kind of let them do that. You know, everyone needs their space.
Right.
So yeah, I haven't. You know, the last couple of days I had to go record the book, so that kept me super busy. But that's the last thing on my calendar until May. So talk to me next week. I'll let you know.
So did you have to go somewhere to do that?
I did. I had to go right into this secret parking garage and go right into the thing and do it, and nobody was in there. And yeah, it was pretty surreal. It was pretty bizarre, like going where no people are and no people on the road. It was definitely, and then going reading a whole book about staying optimistic. So it really was, it'll definitely be something to talk about in the interviews.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. But that book is available for pre-order right now if you want to get a jump on it. And I think you can pre-order the audiobook. I would imagine you could do it either way, the printed one or whatever. And then we're going to be making big efforts to get signed books to people, even if we're not doing the live events exactly when it comes out. It looks like a lot of that stuff's going to be pushed, but it comes out in the middle of May. And of course, for everybody listening, I will come up with different ways to get you signed copies before we go back on tour and meet everybody again, which I cannot wait for. That's the biggest thing. Not doing stand-up for this long is starting to grate on me a little bit. I need to be on stage at some point.
it's been weird, you know. A lot of people have been doing these streaming live things just to kind of like have an outlet. But what do you do? Because here's what I've noticed so far: everyone's shaving their head. Have you seen? Have you seen anybody doing this? Actually, Greg Fitzsimmons just did it.
I saw it.
He shaved his head.
It was a disturbing video. I didn't like seeing it. I would have rather have just seen it done. But you know what's funny about him? He shaved his head and he was all like, I'm finally going to do it. And then every post since then, he's got a hat on. So I'm thinking he might be regretting it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can't get a haircut for a while, so you might as well shave it. No, I'm not shaving.
Because I know that's something that you toyed with the idea of doing at some point.
Yeah, this isn't the time to do it. I was even growing a beard for a little while, and even that was like, all right, enough already. it's
not a good message to the people.
No, let's keep it a little normal. All right, well, we got to roll. I have so much to do. I really can't be staying on here so long. We've got to take care of dinner. I'm not sure what's happening. We might order out tonight because Cynthia cleaned the whole kitchen, so I don't think she wants us messing it up. So this might be one of the nights where we're allowed to get it from somewhere else. All right, man. Well, hang in there. I'll talk to you
shortly. Yeah,
you too,
man. Sounds good.
And everybody out there, keep your messages coming. Hope you're doing well. And hang in there and don't go too crazy. And enjoy your life.